Good morning and welcome to our online service at Stoke Green Baptist Church. At the very beginning of our service, it's right that we should give thanks for the life of Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, and remember Her Majesty the Queen and the Royal Family in our prayers this morning. So shall we pray? Loving and eternal God, we join this morning with many people across the United Kingdom and throughout the world in giving you thanks for the life of Prince Philip, for all that he accomplished in enriching people's lives, for his long and loving partnership with Her Majesty the Queen, and for all he contributed to the life of our nation. We pray this morning for Her Majesty, for Prince Charles, Princess Anne, Prince Andrew, and Prince Edward, and for all who mourn his loss. We pray that they may know your blessing and comfort in their grief, and be assured that the one who said, "I will never leave you or forsake you," will work out his loving purposes for them. We ask these prayers in the loving and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning and welcome to our online service. Ian has had this week off on holiday, but I'm delighted to let you know that Graham Ross will be preaching this morning. We have enjoyed listening to him previously, and you may remember that he is one of our regional ministers. The sermons that they have been preaching have been made available for all churches to access, and it is one of these that we will be listening to today. You will see that it was obviously originally filmed for Valentine's Day, but the message of love, forgiveness and hope ties in beautifully on this Sunday after Easter. So too does the theme of love for the prodigals, which Ian spoke about as part of his sermon a couple of weeks ago. Graham will be leading our thoughts this morning, not just through his words, but through imagery and artwork, bringing a powerful message that is not limited to only hearing in the middle of February. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will touch each one of us today. We open ourselves up to you now, ready to worship you and to receive from you as your Holy Spirit meets with us as we need today. Amen. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord our God.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus Christ
Oh, praise the
We may deliberately try and forget God at times. We may ignore him and make poor choices. But the reality is that God is still there, right by our side. He will not abandon us. He will always be there, waiting with open arms for when we are ready to turn and look at him again. If I go to the furthest place that I could go, God will always be there.
If I go to the furthest place that I could go, he'll be there, he'll be there. To the east or the west, to the sun or snow, God will always be there. Oh yeah, oh yeah, God will never leave me. I know God cares, he's the only one I know who's always there. In the dark of the night or in the light of day,
is taken from Luke chapter 15 verses 11 to 32, and we're reading from the New Century version of the Bible. The son who left home.
Then Jesus said, a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father,
give me my share of the property.
So the father divided the property between his two sons. The younger son gathered up all that was his and travelled far away to another country. There he wasted his money in foolish living. After he had spent everything, a time came when there was no food anywhere in the country. The son was poor and hungry, so he got a job with one of the citizens there who sent the son into the fields to feed the pigs. The son was so hungry that he wanted to eat the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he realised what he was doing, he thought,
all of my father's servants have plenty of food, but I'm here almost dying with hunger. I will leave and return to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but let me be like one of your servants.
So the son left and went to his father. While the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt sorry for his son. So the father went up to him, ran up to him and hugged and kissed him. The son said,
Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.
But the father said to his servants,
hurry! Bring the best clothes and put them on him. Also put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get our fat calf and kill it so that we can have a feast and celebrate. My son was dead, but now he is alive again. He was lost, but now he is found.
So they began to celebrate. The oldest son was in the field. And as he came closer to the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. So he called to one of his servants and asked what all this meant. The servant said,
your brother has come back, and your father killed the fat calf because your brother came home safely.
The older son was angry and would not go into the feast. So his father went out and begged him to come in. But the older son said to his father,
I have served you like a slave for many years and have always obeyed your commands. But you never gave me even a young goat to have a feast with my friends. But your other son, who wasted all your money on prostitutes, comes home and you kill the fat calf for him.
The father said to him,
Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. We had to celebrate and be happy because your brother was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, but now he is found.
Thank you so much, Paul, Karen and Faith, for bringing us our reading this morning. It's lovely to see you, and it now means that when Graham mentions about pausing his sermon to look up the reading, we don't need to, as you have already brought it to life for us. Thank you. When I was lost, you came and rescued me, reached down into the pit and lifted me. Oh, Lord, such love. I was as far from you as I could be. We sing again before Graham speaks.
Down into the pit and lifted me. Oh Lord, such love, I was as far from you as I.
As I'm preparing this talk, Valentine's Day is fast approaching. Love is in the air, or perhaps it's not. Perhaps commercialism is in the air as people try to get you to buy their products to celebrate Valentine's Day. I've been thinking a lot about what love is. What does love mean? When I think of love, I think of a parable from the Bible of the prodigal son. And you can read about it in Luke chapter 15. And if you've not read it before, you're not familiar with it, you might want to pause the video right here and go and read it. It starts in verse 11 and then you can come back. It's a story about a son who leaves home, who leaves his father behind, and then he comes back and the father lovingly accepts him. Long story short, here's the slightly longer version. When I think of the prodigal son coming to the father and saying, "Give me my inheritance, I want to leave," I think of Veruca Salt from the film Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Do you remember her? "I want it now!" If I'm honest though, the prodigal son also reminds me of me. I love God, I follow God, I try to do what God says, but the truth is there are times where I lose focus of that, where I do my own things. When I come to God in prayer, and what I realise I'm saying to him is, "I want it this way and I want it now." I might not be so obnoxious about it, you'll have to ask God about that. But perhaps my attitude is more about me than it is about him, and in a sense we're all prodigals. I'm going to use a series of images in this talk. This is the first one. It's painted by Stephanie Frostad, and it's called The Claim. And I love the way that she's drawn, got the sun drawing this line in the sand, this line that says, "This far and no further. I don't want to be in your family anymore. I cut myself off from you." I find it quite emotional as I think about this breaking of relationship, of the devastation of the father who's done all he can to raise his son, and then one day his son is effectively saying to the father, "I wish you were dead. I don't need you anymore. I just want my inheritance early." And the son clears off. He moves to a distant land. He goes it alone, but he has plenty of cash. He spends it. He has some fun. He thinks he's having the whale of a time, and I'm sure he felt that way at the moment. But to all the rest of us, it looks more like this picture. Like he was just throwing his money away, or perhaps even burning his money, just frittering it. And we come to the next of Stephanie Frostad's paintings, The Shoot. And I'm looking at this and it so typifies what happens with the son. The son who goes his own way, who spends all his money. And in the end, as he runs out of money, there's a famine in the land and he ends up begging a farmer for a job, and the father sends him out to care for his pigs. And as you see the son walking through this narrow confine with the pigs, it just symbolises the track he was on, the path he had chosen, then this way that he's just restricted into. And it seems like there's no way out, but of course there is. We'll come to that in a minute. One of the devastating consequences for the son in this story is for a Jew who couldn't eat pork, to be caring for pigs must have been humiliating and devastating on all sorts of levels. But more than that, as a human being, the Bible says he looks at the pig food and he felt like it would be good to eat it. And there's probably not many of us listening to this talk who can imagine what that feels like, to be so starving, to be so hungry, that he's looking at some rubbish, throwing out food, slops, and thinking, "I'm hungry enough that I'd like to eat that." And we come to this point of absolute devastation, this point that we see in Frostad's next painting, Turning Point, of the son hunched up with these pigs. And I remember showing this picture to a friend of mine. She said to me, as she looked at it on a projection screen at the front of a chair, she said to me, "Why are there three pigs in the picture? Where's the son?" And I found that really insightful, that she couldn't distinguish that in a sense the picture shows the complete fall of the son, the mess he's in, as he's reached this place of absolute dejection and brokenness, and it's almost like he's become one of the pigs. A few years ago I helped in a prayer space in a school, and one of the activities was a friendship activity. And in the activity, children, pupils did it in pairs, and they received this suitcase you can see on the screen, And in it, there were lots of words on little bits of cardboard. And they had to choose three cards with three words that best described their friends. And it was a wonderful activity to supervise as they picked words like kind or reliable or whatever it was. And at the end of the activity, as the facilitator, I would say to the person who had heard these three positive words, "How did that make you feel?" The most common response was, "I was shocked." These children, these young people, shocked to hear something positive about them. Any of you who are around schools will know that most schools, probably all schools, thrive on positivity and wanting to just put this positive message into children. And yet there's something in the makeup of our young people and our children, something in our society that has led to a real brokenness, a real sense of it's all gone wrong. And we see this in the life of the son. And Frostad has painted a series of six paintings that she's called Dwindle and Gain. And as we look at the pictures, we see the purse emptying slowly, bit by bit, until there's nothing left. A son who goes from full of hope and optimism and life, who ends up empty. And Frostad says, once empty, the purse becomes an empty vessel. And there's a sense of in our emptiness, we become open to what God has for us. Something more beautiful, something more meaningful than gold. Mercy, belonging, acceptance. And so the son has a moment of clarity. He comes to his senses and he decides to go home. He hatches a plan where he's going to go to his father and say, "I'm just trying to survive. I sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Please just take me as a servant. Please I just need to survive." In absolute desperation and with nothing left, he trudges home. And we can't imagine how he felt and the sense of, as he comes to his father and says, "Can I just be a servant?" The rejection that he would have expected in that moment, the looks of judgment, the looks of disapproval. And in contrast, the father sees him and he runs to meet him. The son who expected rejection instead receives grace. Must have been a strange day for the servants in that household as they see this probably elderly, rich and regally dressed gentleman running out of the house. And I like to think, as someone who's perhaps, I'm middle-aged, I'm not old yet, right? And I can imagine him running and running and running. And as I think, if I have ever run, and it's a rare occurrence, I might run for like 20 seconds and then... And you can imagine the father going, "Son, I'm in, son." He's running towards him and he's pausing for breath. And the servants are looking at him and just say, "What is going on? We've never seen anything like this before." This almost comedic scene as the father runs to greet his son. And the son, with tears you imagine streaming down his eyes, his face, thinking, "But don't you hate me? I've treated you so badly and I'm coming home in disgrace." And the father is running, sweeping him up in his arms and welcoming him. I love this picture, love that lifts a child, by Christy Valiant. And the way she just captured the father's love for a child. This is what she says about her painting. "What inspired me the most from this parable was the father's loving heart. The shadow represents the father's view that his son will always be his little child. Even when his son basically said, 'I wish you were dead and I had all your money,' the father handed the money over without bitterness. In the culture of that day, the son would have been disinherited or even stoned. A father who loves his son that much had to have had high hopes for that boy. Did he pray for his baby son? Did he watch his son's heart grow harder through the years? Did his own heart mourn for those younger days? When the rebellious son finally took some steps back towards the father, did the father run to meet him and lift him in the air with such overflowing joy that he couldn't contain himself?" And it's It's just such a beautiful picture that I do find very emotional as I look at it. And I find it interesting to contrast it with this more famous picture, Rembrandt's The Prodigal Son. I remember looking at this painting for the first time. I was on a retreat many years ago, about 20 years ago. And the other leaders in my church had sent me on this retreat because I was tired, I was exhausted, I was bent out. They sent me away. It wasn't a one-way ticket, but they wanted me to go and find some rest and restoration. And as I looked at this picture, I just wanted to cry and weep because I looked at this son in his brokenness. And I thought, you know, that's me. That's how I feel. I just feel like it's all gone wrong. And in my brokenness, in my imperfection, in my exhaustion, the Father loves me. But as I think of that son coming home in the state he's in, and he smells and he's dirty, and yet the Father flings his arms around him. And I find it helpful that the first picture makes sense of the other one for me. Because when you think of someone who perhaps smells a bit, and has actually been offensive, because you... If you put yourself in a position of father, you spent all your life accumulating all this wealth, you've worked hard for it, and the son has gone and he's just literally frittered it away, it's gone. And now he's coming back empty-handed, this offensive, dirty, smelly son. And yet, as a loving parent, you can't help but hug them and welcome them home. Are you more like the father in this story? Or are you more like the older brother? As we look at this painting, we're reminded of the father saying, bring the best robe, put it on the son, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And then we're also reminded of the words of the son. And I like to think that the person, as you see the servant handing over all the stuff, the other person in that picture is the older son saying, what, you're even going to give him a ring? And the words from the Bible remind us that the son says, the older brother was angry and refused to join the party. All these years I've worked for you, and all that time you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. The older brother thought he was pleasing the father by being good, by being respectable. And God does want us to live holy lives, as the word the Bible uses, to be like him, to choose to do the things, to live as he would want us to live. That's good. But one of the things this parable is telling us is what the Father wants from us above all else is love. Love. Will we love one another? Will we love freely? Because when we put respectability before love, we become judgmental. We judge one another on whether we're good enough to get to God. And God said first, you might have heard it in a song somewhere else, but God said first, the whole point and emphasis of the Bible is all you need is love. All you need is love. And the following and the obedience comes out of love and not out of a sense of duty. The son's return was great for everybody, apart from the calf. Kill the fatted calf. And we come to Frostad's final painting, The Return of the Prodigal Son. And if you came across this painting without this explanation, you would never think it had anything to do with the prodigal son. As you see the calf in the field grazing with its mother, you see the older son in the green shirt coming towards to get the calf. And right in the far distance, if you look at the cow's nose, you can see the son being welcomed home in the distance by the father. And as they look at this picture, this poor, happy calf who's about to be slaughtered, I'm reminded of Jesus, God, who sent his son. He sent his son to give his life. To give his life freely, that we might be accepted and that we might be welcomed home. That our sin, the wrong things that we do, separate us from God. When Jesus died on the cross, he took them on himself. He became our sacrifice. Wonderful, wonderful thing. The grace of God is not free, but there's a price that God willingly pays to accept us home. So we look at this picture and finishing then. Who do you relate to in the picture? Is it the Father? Are you full of love? Do you feel or relate to the Son? Do you feel like a bit of a mess at the moment? Do you feel like your life's a struggle? Perhaps you feel like the older brother, that you're realising that you're looking at other people constantly and being really disappointed in them or picking faults in them. Perhaps you relate to the calf. Whoever you relate to, may you know that you are loved by God. May God so overwhelm us with his love that we freely let it flow out and we share it with those around us. And as we think about the love of God as Christians, maybe realise that we're also called to love one another. So if you're listening to this on or around Valentine's Day, it's a miserable day for all sorts of people who aren't in relationships. Realise that you have the opportunity to show some friendship and kindness to them. The love that God has given to us, may we share it freely on Valentine's Day as we show respect and value and love for one another, but equally throughout the whole of our lives. Freely we've received God's love. May we receive it and share it freely with those around us. Amen.
As we reflect on what we have heard today, Steve will guide us now in our prayers. Thanks, Steve.
As we come to prayer today, we pray for governments, for statesmen and rulers the world over, that they may put aside their own political ambitions and have the wisdom and courage to do what they know to be right. We pray for all who work to improve international relationships, that they may find ways to reconcile conflict between people of different race, politics, colour and creed. And for men and women the world over, that justice and freedom will reign, enabling all to live without poverty and in security and peace. Lord, we pray for all those who especially need to be blessed by your healing and loving care at the moment. Those who mourn, the sick and the terminally ill. We especially pray for all those on the front line who put their own health at risk to care for the sick. We pray too for those with issues surrounding their relationships, their employment, their finances, housing, and those who may be going through a crisis of faith. Father, we thank you for being close beside us at all times, regardless of whether or not we always recognise your presence. Lord, will you bring your healing love, your peace and your comfort to all those who find themselves in any of these situations? We pray that you would give solace and inspiration to those who feel distance from you, and ask that they may once again be able to experience your everlasting love and care, and come to see and experience anew all the blessings that you have so richly provided for us. Father, we thank you for your love toward us, even though we constantly fail you. We thank you for the forgiveness you have freely given to each and every one of us. We ask now that you would give to us that same spirit of love and forgiveness that will enable us to see the good in one another, that bears no grudges and forgives all grievances. May we learn to forgive even as you have forgiven us, that we may live together in unity and love. Lord, will you refresh, equip and enable each one of us to show your glory, mercy, love and compassion, and to bring your blessing to all those with whom we have contact this week. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you to all those who have been involved in today's service. Whether on screen or behind the scenes, you have helped us meet with God this morning. Thank you. Graham has reminded us that wherever we see ourselves in the prodigal son story, our Father God loves us, warts and all, with an undeserved love. And as we have freely received from him, so we should freely give to others. We therefore close our service today by singing those very words. And our closing blessing are words we said amen to in Steve's prayer just now. Lord, will you refresh, equip and enable each one of us to show your glory, mercy, love and compassion, and to bring your blessing to all those with whom we have contact this week.